Are you searching for adventure?
Twink, bear, cub, otter.
She was like a murdery Gorton's fisherman.
Wait, this happened in the movie?
A Lifetime of Hallmark.
Well, hello, everybody. It is your favorite day of the week. It's another day of A Lifetime of Hallmark, where we talk about movies on Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel, and we try to make sense of them. I am Les Kirkendall Barrett. Hello, Jason Bowers.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett.
And hello, Kurt Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett, and hello, Jason Bowers.
Well, it's another week. We're here. So Kurt.
Yes.
Jason, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but Kurt attempted to taunt me on Facebook today.
I saw some back and forth, but I didn't see what started it, so I didn't know the context.
Well, Kurt listed a group of movies that he had never seen.
Okay.
Yeah, and I made a comment. I forget what I even said.
Well, it's a list of movies that like everybody's seen at this point that I've never seen. So it's the Big Lebowski, Clue, the original Halloween, The Thing from 1982, Labyrinth, and there may have been another one. But anyway, I think Les wrote like, "How dare you?"
Yeah, how dare you?
How dare you?
Why? How dare him?
Yeah, why, Les? Why would
how
you start
dare you
trouble?
Not see Halloween or Clue?
Well, because it's different reason. I think Halloween, I was too young for, like, Halloween would have really scared me at the time it came out, so I didn't watch that. A movie like Labyrinth, I mean, it didn't do well when it came out. I was never a giant Bowie fan, like, especially like at that age. I love Jim Henson. Uh-huh. So that movie never interested me at the time, but over the years it's like one of those movies you just keep hearing about.
I honestly, the only one on that list I have seen is Clue.
But, you never saw Big Lebowski?
No.
Yeah, I've never seen it either. So there you go, Les.
But Kurt Fitzpatrick,
yes.
You know me well enough to know that I have at least seen Clue.
I guess. Because you said, how dare me? And I said, I think you haven't seen all these movies either. And it turns out Les has. He showed me up on my own Facebook page.
Don't let my tacky-tasted television shows fool you.
And Les watched Halloween on a VHS, like, constantly, right?
Because I was in high school.
See, I was a little kid, and I think I remember seeing, like, a preview for it, and it scared me. So I couldn't watch that at the time.
We had a VCR at the time. Well, everybody had a VCR at the time. But I was living in Spain, and I watched Halloween on the VCR every day for like a month.
Did you have to get it in a different format? Remember how like the videotapes were like in the US, and I don't mean like VHS beta, I mean like if you had VHS, it was a different version of VHS here in the States versus what it would be in Europe.
No, we had an American one, but we had adapters. We had like little generators, and we had adapters, so you could take your American appliances.
No, no,
and
no. I don't mean the electrical difference, like the format of the actual tape and the kind of tape player you would need to play those VHS tapes would differ based on where you lived.
No. Because we had an American VCR so that we could get our friends and family from the States to send us tapes of stuff.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
So we had an American. That's how I watched so many soaps, because we would get these videotapes of soap operas. And so I would, you know, we'd get like 8 hours of General Hospital. And so I'd like watch like, wow, you know, almost like a week and a half's worth on a VHS tape. And then I went to an international school. And so like, all of the American kids, we would switch tapes with each other.
And okay, so who was recording all this for you? It was like a friend of the family,
relatives,
the FBI.
Okay, recording. Relatives are shipping out General Hospital.
Like my aunts and uncles, or friends, you know, friends from
okay. The States. Every resource was used to find out what was going on with Luke and Lara.
Right.
Yeah.
Jason, how did you miss these movies? How did you not see Labyrinth and The Thing? And
some of them I'm a little young for. Like the original Halloween, I was under 10 when that came out. I wasn't afraid of scary movies. I just, every time I would see clips of them, I always thought they looked so cheesy. And it didn't dawn on me at that age to watch them for comedic value. I was like, these don't look scary. Why is everyone getting all excited about this? I didn't understand it.
And you didn't see The Big Lebowski. See, people are shocked when I say I've never seen The Big Lebowski.
That's something that I could see you loving. I could see you loving that movie.
And I just like Coen Brothers. It's just one of those movies that's like slipped through my fingers. I originally put that post up in 2018, and I have this year. I've seen Clue. I just saw Labyrinth. I just saw The Thing from 1982, because there are different versions of The Thing. And what else did I see? I also had added After Hours to that list because I had wanted to see that. You probably haven't seen that list.
After Hours
from 1985. It's a Scorsese movie from 1985.
I think I have.
With Griffin Dunn.
Yes, I've seen it.
Rosanna Arquette, Catherine Harrell.
I saw it in college.
I just saw that for the first time. What I always wanted to say.
No, believe it or not, my taste in movies, like, I have, like, a varied taste in movies, but my taste in movies is better than my taste in TV shows. I will totally admit that.
I'm kind of the opposite, usually. Like, I'll go watch a stupid movie that I would never sit and watch a series that was that stupid.
I would say my taste is very good, although I have to admit, I was just reading an AV Club article on the movie Summer School from 1987, and I have fond memories.
Mark Harmon and Courtney Thorne Smith?
I have fond memories of the movie Summer School, which no one ever – it's not held up as like a – comedy classic, but I remember enjoying that back in the day.
Yes.
I will defend
Mark Harmon, right?
And directed by Carl Reiner.
Oh. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Kirstie Alley was in it.
Yeah, it's funny. I know when Carl Reiner passed away a few weeks ago, you know, he was obviously known for creating the Dick Van Dyke Show and having done a bunch of iconic performances, I didn't realize how many huge comedies he had directed in the late 70s and early 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did a lot of stuff with Steve Martin. I believe he directed All of Me.
Yeah. I think he did Oh God.
I think he did.
Oh God. He did The Jerk.
He did Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid. He did one of my favorite movies, The Man with Two Brains. That was great.
Oh my god. Get this, you guys, and I haven't told you guys this yet. Ooh. My snooping skills turned into superpowers.
Okay, now you know this is a podcast. Other people can hear this. We can't keep this secret.
Well, no, it's a good story.
Okay.
So, my husband grew up, his dad was a stepdad. And so his stepdad has since passed away, and so he's been looking for his biological father. And so that was we did Ancestry.com, and he found a couple of potential leads. And so he found this name on Facebook that matched one of his potential leads on Ancestry.com. And he was like, I don't know, it might be, it might not. I'm like, give me that right now. So I took the Facebook, and through snooping and all of my snooping skills, I won't tell you what I did, but I found other people. And so I'm like, you need to message these three people, and you need to message these three people right now. And he was like, well, no, I don't want to sound weird. I'm like, you need to do it, and you need to do it because, you know, of my snooping secret. You need to do this.
Yeah.
He did it, and one of them was his aunt.
Wow.
And so because of my snooping skills, we found his aunt. And so he wrote a letter, and she sent a message saying, you need to call me right now.
Wow.
Okay, wow. Well, good work.
Do Do you have a paid subscription to one of those white pages websites where you can look up a phone number and find out all this info about somebody?
No, but I'm just a weirdo who, like, back in the day...
Because I feel like that would be a good gift for John to get you is, like, a year subscription to one of those sites. It'll speed up your snooping.
That's one of those things. That's one of those things, like, you look up... It gives you, like, a little bit of information about someone and says you have to subscribe.
Get
more. Great. There's all sorts of crap online.
I'm down, and so it's kind of a happy ending. So it turns out his dad actually passed away, but he has three brothers.
Who is this again? Is a friend of yours?
My
John.
Husband.
Oh, your husband. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And so he has like three brothers.
Oh,
so,
wow. Okay.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Snooping skills used for good.
Wow. Okay. So he's got three brothers.
Uh-huh.
Boy, you keep finding people.
Right?
In Ancestry.com. I have a friend who, she gave up her daughter for adoption when she was like 13. She had a kid when she was 13. And she reunited with her through that Ancestry.com. Like, uh-huh. Now. Like, she's like 49 now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, it's crazy. Have you guys ever done it?
No, I don't know what I would find. I don't think there's anything. I don't know what I would find. I don't think I would find like relatives who I'm not expecting.
Uh-huh. The surprise,
of course. I guess I can't predict if I'm going to find something I'm not expecting.
Yeah, so. I've never done it because I'm already racially a mutt. I know I've got ancestors from all over. I don't think I'd find anything that's going to give me any insight into areas of my life where I question what's going on in the world. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
For me, it's like I'm not adopted. It's not like I'm trying to find somebody or something about myself.
Yeah.
The funny thing is I found out that I'm racially a mutt. I didn't know. But the whole reason I did it was because he was doing it to find his bio dad, and he had like a 2-for-1. So he just gave me one.
Yeah, I know I'm
a BOGO.
I know if I'm a European descent, and I don't know what else. Maybe that'd be interesting, but and I don't need to. If there's any weird relatives I'm not aware of, I don't. That's okay.
Right. Right.
No.
Anywho, before we get started, do you have any Black China news?
China.
Yes.
China. I have to have my China.
China!
And now, the Black China Report. Here's Griff Fitzpatrick.
Who's saying that I have to have my China? Is that you, Jason?
No, that's Trump.
It is?
Yeah. I just thought it's funny because he always over-enunciates that word when he says it.
I never knew that. Okay, that's good. That's the news.
Yeah, here, I'll play it again just so you can hear it. Now that you know it's him, listen.
China. Okay. China. I have to have my China.
China!
And now, Black China. Here's Griff Fitzpatrick.
Well, I just realized, like,
who
is
really
that?
Thought that was me?
It still doesn't sound like, yeah, I, boy, that's, okay. And he says, I've got to have my China? He said that at one point?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's great. Well, how'd you find that? We could.
Just okay, there are YouTube supercuts.
Okay. So Black China supports Kanye West after he mocks Kris Jenner. His tweets shouldn't be dismissed as crazy. Black China is offering her immense support to Kanye West following his string of tweets targeting Kris Jenner and Kim Kardashian. The model and mother of Dream Kardashian, whom she shares with ex Rob Kardashian, offered a statement through her attorney, Lynn Sienna, we've heard of her before, concerning the rapper's recent string of tweets. China, of course, wants her daughter Dream's Uncle Kanye to get whatever help he needs, her attorney shared in a statement to Hollywood Life. Oh, yeah, this is from HollywoodLife.com, by the way. However, China also noted by way of her attorney that she does not want all of his recent statements regarding his mother-in-law summarily dismissed as crazy, as some people apparently would like to do. The former star of Robin China, Star, says Star twice, has been in a legal squabble with the family for months. China has alleged that the Kardashian-Jenner family were involved with the cancellation of a reality TV show and is still in a legal battle with Rob concerning allegations of domestic violence. As such, China reiterated that the comments Kanye made about his mother-in-law, Kris Jenner, should not be entirely ignored. Despite her own drama with the Kardashian and Jenner family members, China is putting her support behind Kanye, even though she vehemently disagrees with Kanye's statements that Harriet Tubman never freed slaves, as he said during his first presidential campaign rally in South Carolina on June 19th. And it goes on from there, but that's about it. That's the gist of this.
Well, okay, first of all, what was she wearing?
There are some outfits. There's a picture of here from Blac Chyna poses on the red carpet at the MTV VMAs in 2019, so last year. She looks like she's wearing like a big pom-pom, a big pink pom-pom. Uh-huh. And then they use that picture again. They get a lot of mileage out of that. And that's about it.
Well, I'm glad. Okay, because I was a little worried about Chyna for a second. When she said that she backed up Kanye's statements, because
right.
My mind first went to, he said things about Harriet Tubman and slavery being a hoax and all that stuff. She better watch it, or she's gonna be in big trouble. But then she distanced herself from that.
Yes, it seems there's concern for Kanye. Yes. Yes, this is an article from a couple weeks ago. There was nothing for the last couple of days. It's been a little slow.
That's how you know the pandemic really is hitting hard.
It is.
There's no new Black China news.
Luckily, they're evergreen China stories. That was from a couple weeks ago, but it's still a couple weeks ago. We could still say that's current news.
Well, you know, it is kind of sad because Kanye's not, as we all know now, Kanye's not mentally well.
So it would seem.
No, it says he's bipolar. That's part of this article, too, is Kim Kardashian put out a statement on Twitter saying that, it's kind of long, but she's just, as many of you know, Kanye has bipolar disorder. And she goes on about that, so.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, let's talk about this movie.
Yes.
The Twisted Nanny.
Yeah, this really takes some liberties with the law.
And, okay, I can honestly say that I said F you to every single person in this movie at one point.
Oh, really?
If you want a master class in how to gaslight someone, watch every other character that isn't the lead in the movie.
Not revealing details. This woman's friend sucked.
Yeah.
Oh, the coworker, the boss, whatever.
That was remarkable.
No, that's the one I was. I almost said F you.
Everybody in this movie sucks.
I was saying F you to people a couple weeks ago. I was in a better mood today, so I think I let some people off the hook. But
this was more like, and we'll get into this. This was more like, wait, what?
Well, this is why you have to have boundaries, and you don't have to tell the people you work with everything that's going on in your life. That's the lesson to be learned. There's snooping in this movie. There's everything.
Yeah.
Well, but when it was too late.
They won't even do a proper background check. That's how much they're against snooping.
I got so angry at the people in this movie.
Oh, there's a lot to get angry about, but there's a lot to enjoy as well, though. Yeah. I actually really like this.
But no, that was actually a sign that I was really enjoying it and that I was actually invested on it because I literally got angry.
It's a very sparse movie, too. There's like scenes where like, there's nobody else there and it's like,
And
this is super low. This was low budget even for Lifetime.
Yeah.
Oh, the acting. Oh, oof.
Be dying to watch this.
What's that you cut out there?
Are you paid money?
I had to pay $3.99 to watch this on Prime. But it was worth it. It was money well spent.
Okay.
Okay, good.
So first of all, as we start, this is supposedly based on true events.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Where did you see that?
I want to know.
No, where did you see that it was based on true events?
In the beginning of the movie, it said that.
Yeah.
Did it say that on the screen, or was that the YouTube caption on the YouTube link I sent?
No,
I saw it on the screen as part of the credits. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, the version that. I saw, yeah, I watched on YouTube where some of the dialogue was out. But most, there was only one scene where I was wondering what the... I could figure it out.
Yeah, but I figured it out later when they recapped something that happened in that scene.
Yeah, so there's only one thing.
What
a little...
were they doing, like voicing things over?
There's some weird music all
of
a sudden.
Yeah, they basically would like just drown out parts of the audio in the music with other music so that the software that identifies stolen video and whatnot can't track the video as easily.
Jeez. There wasn't much of it.
No.
So it was, yeah, it was manageable.
Okay. So we start. We see a woman, and she's walking out of a nanny agency. How do we know it's a nanny agency? Because there's big red white writing at the door that says nanny agency. And so she's walking to her car. I wrote that she's wearing horrible shoes. It's that standard Lifetime movie creepy music that we're all used to.
Yeah.
One of the things I gotta say about this movie, the title is called The Twisted Nanny, and it lived up to the title and did not try to be anything else than what it was.
I agree.
So she's walking out to her car. It's dark. It's late. You know, it's late at night. They're playing the creepy music, and she gets startled, and you think she's going to get attacked, but it's actually one of her friends. And her, it turns out like her friend is going to Spain with her family, like with, I guess, the family that she works for. And she's going to be there for 3 months. And so they chat, and then, you know.
And we find out that the main chick just got a new assignment as well.
Yeah. So she gets into her car, and she gets murdered.
I enjoyed this murder, this cold open murder, because she gets in her car and, like, you know, they play the really loud, like, synth stab to let you know that a stabbing's happening inside the car that you're not actually seeing. So, like, you jump and then, like, the flickering lights on the car.
Right.
Like, why would the lights be flickering if he's stabbing her? Like, he's like, oh, I need a strobe light to do this. Whoever's stabbing is, like, turning the lights on and off whilst stabbing.
They need the proper lighting.
And then she threw her in the trunk.
Yeah.
So I was like, yay, they stuck to the cold open. You know, because this is a different universe for us.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that they stuck to the cold open.
The twisted universe.
So then we cut to the sub. We're in the suburbs.
Can I pause for 1 second? Because I just had a brilliant thing come to me that needs to be out in the world right now. They need to do a movie on Lifetime called The Twisted Sister. Yes. Kurt! Rude.
Sorry, Jason.
I was building up to it.
Oh, man.
Cockblock my joke. Too.
Just hit me. See, we're so in sync. We're thinking now. This at the same time.
Well, this is Lifetime, so it may happen.
Oh, they're gonna do it, especially with the the allusions to another movie, which I'll discuss in a second.
So we're in the suburbs. We see this messy house, and these two little bratty kids. Who I wrote, these kids are assholes. We're fighting over a stuffed animal.
Foster parent to be Les Kirkendall Barrett, everybody.
Children are assholes. Yeah, Les comes in the office. They're playing this podcast on a tape recorder. These children are assholes. Do I need to play that again for you?
So they're fighting over the stuffed animal. The little girl, because there's a little girl and a little boy, and the little girl doesn't want, she's talking about how she doesn't want her mom to go to work. And so all of a sudden there's a car in the driveway, and the mom was taken aback because the mom wasn't expecting anybody today. But she opens the door, and this woman shows up like she's Mary Poppins. And mm-hmm. she's holding an umbrella and everything.
Yes. That was what I was referring to a second ago. They really wanted to drive home that she's a nanny thing.
Right.
Oh, is that why they were showing that umbrella?
Yes.
They really emphasized that. So they wanted us to think she was like Mary Poppins.
And she had like a matching outfit. Like she had a cute little 50s sort of outfit on. And she had like a sassy nanny name, Miss Winterbourne. You know,
they should have had a scene earlier where the kids write a letter, you know, like we would like a nanny who is a gaslighting woman who throws her mother, doesn't allow her mother back in the house again. And then it gets ripped up and like gets thrown out. And then she walks in. Hello, I just found this letter.
And she even kind of tried to talk like Mary Poppins.
Oh, there were things going on with the acting in this movie, which I am in love with, because it felt at times deliberately bad.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there were times where I'm like, oh, this person just kind of wooden. But there were moments where I'm like, are they trying to look like crap? Because it's just fun to do so in a movie like this.
Yeah. Yeah. One part that I was like, okay, this scene is going on for a very, this is a long scene. For acting this crappy.
That's not possible. This trail's been closed for 8 years. It's extremely dangerous.
It makes that look actually, like Shakespeare.
On that level.
Actually, that person was better than the scene.
Wow. That woman's going to get more work.
She's gonna
walk in her agent's office and say, look at the shit that people are doing today. Why can't I get some more work?
Right.
She's like, they talk about me on a Lifetime Hallmark podcast all the time. I'm famous.
I sell tickets.
So the kids are kind of, you know, the kids are creeped out by her initially.
Me and June Squibb, they talk about us all the time.
Right.
Oh, man.
I saw June Squibb on a movie the other day.
That Palm Springs?
Yes.
Yeah, we talked about that before. Yeah, I watched that movie also. Yeah, she's in it, like, she's very briefly in it.
Well, she's June Squibb. She doesn't have to be in the whole movie.
She's in it, though. I thought she was going to have a more important role in it. It's sort of indicative of that, but no.
She's like, any role I do is important, bitch. I'm June Squibb.
Yeah, but I thought she was involved with the time conundrum, but she was not.
Speaking of conundrum, the mom is having anxiety because it turns out that her job is doing this weird thing where they're working with Australia, so their hours need to be turned around, so they have to work overnights. Mm-hmm. And so the nanny is just hired to be with the kids when the mom is on overnight.
She's a single mom.
She's a single mom.
Because the husband died in a car crash.
I see dead people.
Yes. And they didn't say how long it was, but I guess it probably hadn't been all that long from what it seemed like.
Yeah, I got the impression that it was within, like, the last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the mom, Julia, was telling Mrs. Winterbourne that, you know, she just feels weird about this. She's not used to asking for help. She's been independent.
Isn't there a movie called Mrs. Winterbourne with Ricky Lake?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, that's Brendan another movie I haven't seen. Who? Brendan Fraser, yeah. Has anybody seen that?
I think I did. I think so.
I have.
I have not.
And Shirley MacLaine.
Oh, wow. I have not seen that.
Yeah, Shirley MacLaine was in it. And, you know, I love Shirley MacLaine. So, the kids are fighting again.
I see.
The kids are fighting again. They're fighting over the stuffed animal again because the boy wants to use the stuffed animal for a fork, and the girl wants to use the stuffed animal for a tea party. And Mrs. Winterbourne is like, well, why don't you have the tea party in the fort? Ding, 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 ding. And Julia was convinced and impressed that Mrs. Winterbourne was going to be great. So at work, Julia's talking to her coworker,
You cut out after Julia's talking to her coworker.
Yeah. Okay. So they're at work. Julia's talking to her coworker. She's telling the coworker like how she's feeling weird about being away from the kids, but then she's telling her that the nanny has like these fantastic references, and the friend mentioned that her and her husband use that agency too, and there's nothing to worry about. She's going to be fine. And the friend was telling her, why don't you just fix it so that you're home a little earlier so you two cross paths, so then that way you can get comfortable with her.
I assume the friend is her boss, right?
Either boss or friend, they never made that clear, and it's not important to the plot, really, either.
Well.
Oh, actually, no. You know, there is one point that makes it clear later in the movie.
Yeah, I don't want to give it away. But yeah, so I think she's a boss. I thought she was like a coworker, at least, and now she's a boss, yeah.
She's an asshole.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
In relation to the kids. Like on a scale of one to the kids in this movie, who's the bigger asshole?
The friend.
Yeah, the friend.
Yeah, the friend is.
So. Rebecca. I'm a little concerned about that stuffed animal. What was it? A rabbit?
Yeah.
Because the options are the rabbit, where the rabbit either gets to go to a tea party, or the rabbit has to be used as a physical barrier, part of the structure of a fort.
And we'll get to this, but
I would go to the tea party.
Towards, you know, the kids later in the movie had a legitimate reason for being assholes. The work friend did not. So.
Oh, no, I don't think that at this point in the movie the kids have any reason to be an asshole.
Right.
I didn't find the kids really to be assholes. Not really. They were
early in the movie. They were
being manipulated. Yeah.
Early in the movie, okay. Before the manipulation, their baseline is asshole.
Okay.
So Julia goes home and she does what her friend tells her. Like, she goes home a little early, and she walks in and the house is spotless.
Nice.
And, you know, she's just like, you know, oh my God, I didn't have to do this. And the nanny's like chopping vegetables and like making food. And so, you know, the nanny's like, oh, it's my pleasure. But then when the mom left the room, the nanny had the lifetime evil woman look with like, you know, she's chopping vegetables. She has like the evil look on her face. Like, I'm going to kill you.
By the way, we saw this house in the last Lifetime movie we watched.
Oh, we did?
This was in The Wrong Mommy. Same house.
These people must make a killing on this.
No, I think Lifetime probably just owns like 3 or 4 that they use for all their movies.
Oh, they own the houses. Oh, okay.
I would bet just because they use the same ones over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, because they use the same house a lot. So it's probably for them,
that makes sense.
Like, a drop in the bucket, just like, let's just buy a couple of houses and we're done.
I wonder if anybody gets to live there. Maybe that's inconvenient.
I think that would be inconvenient to film around.
Yeah, then that would kind of defeat the purpose, yeah. I said the little boy has emo hair.
He really does. He's emo, actually.
He's emo. And at this point, I figured out, because I'm a genius, that she must be feeding them Ritalin. She's doing something to calm these little brats down.
Right. Because they're always sleeping. The mom's always like, where are the kids? And
she's
like,
sleeping.
Well, we find out why they're tired in the movie. It's not Ritalin.
Well, that's staying up all night. At the beginning.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. At this point, I wrote, she's feeding them Ritalin.
So
here, kids, eat up.
So the mom, so then they all go on a picnic, and Julia and Mrs. Winterbourne are like chatting, and Mrs. Winterbourne is making like psycho looks behind her back, and all of a sudden the little boy hurts himself, and he goes and he's like, you know, Mom, I got hurt. And she's like, you know, the mom's like, well, I want to, can I look at your cut? And the kid's like, no. And I'm like, jeez. And so then later, the mom's getting ready to go to work. And she kind of yelled at the kid a little bit. Because she's like, you know, I thought I told you to not do blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, he was like running somewhere where you shouldn't have been or something like that. It was something that, as a kid, you should probably be told not to do, but he wasn't happy about the fact that he was told not to do it.
Right. So later, Julie's getting ready to go to work. She wants to say goodbye to the kids, but the sun won't come out. And Mrs. Winterbourne's like, oh, you know, he's just still a little angry from earlier. You know, why don't you just go? And she does some, like, super nanny jargon or whatever. And so Julia leaves. And I loved how she would always go, the nanny would always go, oh, children.
And then she would,
it's time to play.
She kept saying, who's ready for a game?
Right.
Creepy AF. But I love that the movie had a catchphrase.
She's like the computer in War Games. Shall we play a game? And we never see her interacting with the kids yet, so it's really exciting later on in the movie. We actually see them doing something.
So Julia's back at work. She's talking to her coworker. She's saying, you know, the nanny, like, she likes the nanny. The kid, it's going well. So then we go back to the house. The kids are sleeping, and all of a sudden the doorbell rings. And it's someone from the agency.
Uh-oh.
And this woman has, like, a look on her face, like, I'm going to kick your ass. And so she goes into the, the nanny invites her in. She's just scowling and saying, like, I'm from the agency, and we haven't heard from Mrs. Winterbourne in, we haven't heard from her because she normally checks in. So I'm just coming to see if everything's okay. And she's like, oh, and she's like a friend. One of her friends hadn't heard from her. So her friend reached out. So that's why we're coming to check on this. And by the way, I know Mrs. Winterbourne, and you're not her.
Oh, you dropped a bomb on me.
So this was the mistake that this woman made. So this is what she should have done. She should have gone in, been suspicious, asked the questions, and then gone outside and called the cops and not let on that she was suspicious of this woman.
Well, she should have brought the cops with her.
Right.
If you're going into a situation that you are wondering, could it be dangerous, wouldn't you bring somebody to help you protect yourself?
Yes.
Yeah,
I've seen enough of these movies to know.
Yeah.
You don't.
What did she? What did she expect the outcome to be? She's like, I got you.
Right.
Yeah, like, and if she was trying to gotcha her, all she needed to do was wait till not Mrs. Winterbourne answer the door and be like, oh, it's not her, and just be like, oh, I'm sorry, I have the wrong house, and you leave, and then you call the cops.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So then, but Mrs. Winterbourne takes her Mary Poppins umbrella and beats the lady over the head.
Well, that'll teach her. She also should have been coming around at night. That's a
exactly
bad move.
Exactly. You do this call during the day.
Convenient for Mrs. Winterbourne, though, because then she could, you know, she without any eyes on her, she can drag the woman out and bury her in the yard.
Well, she need to. She had access to the garage.
Yeah. Oh, and then okay. That was a big point. They made a big point in mentioning Julia kept on saying to Mrs. Winterbourne, make sure you park in the garage.
Yeah. Basically, the dead husband's stuff, the last of it was in there, so Julia wasn't even going out there anymore.
Oh, nice. So she just left her. And I wasn't clear what was happening. So, yeah, she just dragged her in the garage and left her there.
Yeah, because later in the next scene, actually, the kids had complained about the smell out by the garage.
It smelled, yeah.
Right. Yeah, they're like, it's stinky.
Yeah.
And then Mrs. Winterbourne said, yeah, there's a dead cat.
Oh, she's thinking. Oh, that's just the nanny agency who stopped by.
They
smell like in the morning.
And when Julie came home, the kids were sleeping again. And Julie's like, why are they still sleeping? And Mrs. Winterbourne says, oh, you know what? Actually, the kids woke up late. Like, they woke up in the middle of the night and went and watched a scary movie. And then they were too scared to fall asleep.
But this is what you used to do, Les. You used to watch Halloween over and over.
Yes. During the day.
Oh, okay.
And I was a teenager, so I was, you know, I liked the blood. So then Julie was going to go and yell at the kids because they weren't allowed to watch TV unsupervised. But then Mrs. Winterbourne stops her and she's like, well, listen, I wasn't supposed to tell you this, and I want the kids to be able to trust me. And so if you go and yell at them, this means that I ratted them out and they won't trust me. Hold on for one second.
Where's it going?
I don't know. He's probably going to go kill a nanny.
My cat was sleeping under the bed. And so
oh,
the
no. Why? So your cat's wow. lethargic? The kids in this movie are lethargic?
Wow.
I get kind of sleepy myself. Maybe I'm on some kind of a some nanny. I'm under the influence of a nanny.
So she spins this yarn and so then Julie's like, oh well, okay, I don't want them not to trust you, so I won't say anything. So
very tricky thing.
While Julie has her back turned, Mrs. Winterbourne drops something in her water.
Ooh.
And then, so,
is it emergency?
Well, it's an emergent something because she said, so, oh,
emergency.
And Mrs. Winterbourne had made her breakfast as well.
Emergency.
So, whatever it was, Julie slept the entire day.
Mm-hmm.
And so she wakes up, she goes downstairs. Mrs. Winterbourne is still there, and Julie's like, you know what? I feel really bad. You were supposed to go home for the day. And Mrs. Winterbourne's like, oh, no, my pleasure. And
yeah, this is where the voice says he doesn't want to go outside because it smells.
Right.
And Mrs. Winterbourne blames it on the cat. Oh, there's a cat out there.
But then the next scene, Mrs. Winterbourne goes out to the garage wearing some red, wearing like a raincoat and some red boots, some wet rain boots. And we see that the body is actually, yes, stashed in the garage.
Mm.
So Julie's at work. She's drinking a ton of coffee. And her friend is like, wow, Julie, why are you drinking so much coffee? And Julie's like, oh, I'm just really tired and I don't get why. And so then, meanwhile, Mrs. Winterbourne is taking a body and putting it in some kind of basement or something.
I wasn't sure what it was.
I didn't either.
Is this through a cave?
It seemed cave-like, but I don't think it was an actual cave.
There were stairs, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because she walked downstairs.
Well, maybe it was a cave that was open to the public, like one of those ones in, like, Pennsylvania where you see the...
Crystal Cave?
Yeah, the Crystal Cave. Maybe that's where she went.
With the stalactites and the stalagmites.
They show the kid, it's like the middle of the night. Mrs. Winterbourne wakes the kids up, and she's like, listen, let's play a game. Let's play a game called Whispers.
Shall we play a game?
Right. And so basically the game was that that they'd sit in a circle and everybody would whisper a secret to someone else. And then at the end, they would list all the secrets and try to figure out who the secret was.
I killed the woman from the agency and she's in the garage. Right. Don't tell anyone. I don't have one as good as that.
I slept with the producer of this movie and got a role.
I kind of figured that.
So I noticed.
That's no secret. We all know that. We were just talking about that at the craft service table.
In fact, we didn't even know your name for the call sheet, so we just put hookup.
But I noticed that Mrs. Winterbourne used the rules of comedy for this revelation.
Did the rule of three?
Yeah, she did. Because when she was revealing the secrets, the first secret was someone doesn't like jelly beans. The second secret was someone sneezes when they see cats. And then the third secret was, I heard your mommy talking on a telephone and she didn't like you and she said she's going to leave.
Oh boy. Those jelly beans all of a sudden are such an issue.
So you do like the setup.
I did. It's like that escalated quickly.
It's like, holy shit! Could you please lead with that next time?
And then she's all like, you know, your mom doesn't love you, but don't say anything because these are the rules. Like, don't say anything. So then...
At this point, I wrote in my notes, this is a twisted and brilliant gaslighting mindfuck.
That's why she's twisted nanny.
Yeah.
Even Mr. Bunny is involved. They're telling Mr. They're whispering things in Mr. Bunny's ear. He wants out.
Right. So then, of course, Julie comes home and the kids are, like, exhausted again. And the nanny's like the kids are waiting, like they were going somewhere. And the kids are like sitting in like the foyer, like just like drunk. Like they looked like they were on drugs, the kids. They were just like laying there.
Yeah, well. They're exhausted.
So, Mrs. Winterbourne's like, well, I can stay. And Julie's like, no, I want you to go. I want to spend quality time with my kids. And so then Mrs. Winterbourne goes to leave, and the kids, like, start flipping out, like, don't go, don't go. And so they go on this picnic, and this is where the kid's an asshole again, because the mom, like, pulls out a piece of fruit, and she's like, hey, do you want some fruit? And the kid, like, knocked the fruit out of the mom's hand. It's like, no.
Yeah, that's rude.
And runs away. So... then
a kid does not want to eat healthy.
No.
And was that a peach?
I thought it was an apple.
Okay.
No, it was an asshole.
A green apple.
It was an asshole.
Well, it's an asshole. It doesn't want to eat it. Because I get really mad if it's a peach. Because, man, I'm into peaches. It's no secret.
So she's driving home, and the kids look totally stoned in the back.
Do you think they're addicted to whatever? So she's giving them some kind of like.
She's not giving them anything. She's just keeping them up all night.
Oh, isn't she giving them something also?
No, like she's drugging. She's drugging the mom, but she's not drugging them. I don't think.
Oh, she's not. Or if she is,
they didn't show that in the movie, and probably wouldn't. Even on Lifetime, They probably wouldn't go there in terms of the storytelling. Even if you know they want to imply that.
Because I think they were implying it because the kids were really, like,
method. Yeah, I thought so. I thought they were getting some kind of sleepy serum, but I was wondering if it was addictive, you know, where they were at this point, they're like jonesing for more sleepy stuff.
I don't know. I want a picture that she get. What's that? The sleeping pill that makes you hallucinate and go like driving in your sleep.
Ambien.
Oh, yeah. I would love if she were giving up Ambien to these kids. Yeah, and they're just having like terror nightmares.
Why would you take it then?
They did that whole thing on 2020, and they had like cameras in someone's house who was taking Ambien, and like people eat, like they go like make meals and eat.
Yeah, people literally will get in their car and drive.
Yeah,
and have no memory of it whatsoever.
So the kids. Julie's driving home, and the kids are like, well, when is Mrs. Richardson coming back? We want her. And so then...
We didn't mention, by the way, is back when the kid smacks the fruit out of Julia's hand, she, like, out of just reflex, like, grabs his arm.
Yes.
And he ends up falling and bruising himself, and that all come to be important in the movie later.
That's when that happens?
Yes.
Okay.
So the kids are telling Mrs. Richborn how much they hate their mother. And Julie's getting suspicious. But then Mrs. Richborn just like puts more poison in her water and she's like, oh, this is a phase. So then the kids are playing, Julie's still drugged.
Mm-hmm. And they have
the kids.
And they have IKEA glasses, just like the one I have. It's this same kind of glass from IKEA. I noticed that. So they've loaded up that Lifetime has loaded up that house with IKEA stuff, which makes sense.
So Julie has a fight with the kids, and Julie's like, you know what? They're acting really weird. I think they need a doctor. And then Mrs. Winterborn's like, no, they're just tired. And so then at work, the work friend notices that Julie's acting really kind of weird. And she's like, listen, you know, something weird's going on with my nanny. And this is what she's doing. And it just sounds really weird and really crazy. And this is where I was like, this friend is an asshole. Because the friend's like, no, I think you're crazy.
Yeah.
And like turns on.
Yeah, the friend's like, you've had all this chaos in the kids' lives, part of working at this job, which she's the boss at, making it chaotic. Right. And, you know, and your husband dying and the kids' schedule is out of whack. Like, this is all on you.
Yeah.
I know it's the work environment's weird too. Like, I know it's at night. I've worked night jobs. That doesn't mean you turn all the lights out, yeah. So it looks like it's night indoors.
Right. Well,
and also, like, for most of the movie, they made it seem like they were the only two that were there. There was only one other scene where the like people in the conference room, and I'm like, why the fuck are they having to go in it every single night? If it's only the two of them, why aren't they working from home?
That's what I thought. Yeah, it didn't look like anybody else was there. It looked like they broke into an office or something and were using the space.
At one point, at one part they were on a Skype call and all the lights were out in the room while they were on the Skype call. And it's like, you're on a Skype call, you're not watching a movie.
You know what it was? They may have been using like a real working office. And so rather than actually dress it, they just turned off all the lights.
Oh, so you don't see like logos for whatever company it actually is?
Yeah, maybe. I can't understand
like
why.
They filmed this in the offices of Vivid Video, and they don't want Lifetime audience to see that.
That'd be a good sponsor, but yeah, I don't know. So, otherwise, it's a weird choice.
So the friend's an asshole. Then Julie calls the agency, the nanny agency. They're assholes too.
Yeah,
no one's on her side.
Because she's like, you know, I have this nanny, she's being, this something weird's going on. And the person on the building's like, no, you're wrong. She has really good references, and I guess it's you. That's best.
Well, it sounded like a recording, like that she called. Oh, Olivia Winterbourne is highly rated. She's highly rated here. Thank you very much.
Well, also, if she's got the Olivia's file right there, where she's able to spout off about how great Olivia is, wouldn't the dead chick before she went to check on Olivia, wouldn't she have said, "Oh, there's something weird going on with Olivia. I'm going out there, so." You know, I'll see you tomorrow. Right. Like, when that friend didn't show up, wouldn't you be like, oh, maybe something really is up with Olivia?
And it's, you know, hey, we're an agency that deals with children. If we get a suspicious tip from somebody, wouldn't we, like, investigate so that we don't get sued?
Yeah. And I imagine a service like that is super expensive, too.
Yeah.
Nah, they were bullheaded. They were pro Olivia. In fact, I was suspicious that this wasn't even, she wasn't even calling the agency. Like, it was like Olivia had like a friend answer or something like that.
Right. Because we've seen that before.
Yeah, that's right. I know what Lifetime is up to, but not in this case.
So Mrs. Winterbourne continues to gaslight her. So then the principal from the school calls.
Mr. Grady from Sanford and Son.
And she's like, like she was very honored that he called her.
His name was Mr. Grady.
And Mr. Grady was pissed.
He looked nothing like Grady from Sanford and Son.
Grady from Sanford and Son. And he had his own show, Grady.
Grady, I remember Grady.
I forgot that Grady had a spinoff.
Yes. Yep.
Wow.
Grady. I just like saying Grady. And one time, Conan O'Brien, I guess in the 90s, he wanted to do like a sketch and have Grady in it, and he couldn't find him. So he like went on a search.
Did they find him?
Yeah, after a while.
Didn't they hire the actor and they like helicoptered him in for the bit?
You know, it may have been.
Or am I thinking of the Abe Vigoda thing?
The whole time. I definitely bought into it while it was happening. So as I used to watch it back then, I guess it's not on anymore. But yeah, they couldn't find Grady. Like they tried to hire Grady for something and they couldn't find him. They're like, he's lost. He didn't have like an agent anymore or anything. So they spent a couple weeks. They're like, we're finding Grady. And they found him.
That's his reality show. Finding Grady.
Right. Grady. Finding Grady. Grady. I think he passed away. Is that... Is that who played Grady on San Francisco, Leah Remini?
No.
No, she'd find Grady.
In the reboot.
So the principal is like, Julie, your kids are falling asleep in class during the day. And you need to do something about this. So then she's like, and he's like, you need to come in. So then she gets into it with Mrs. Winterbourne. Mrs. Winterbourne tells her that you're a bad mother and I'm going to call Child Protective Services. And this is where you say, bitch, get out of my house right now.
This is the part I missed. Yeah. There's music playing here. This happened in a couple movies where they just continue to keep the person employed. It might even work out just to give the person a 2-week notice. I would say, look, get out. I'm going to pay you for the next 2 weeks. That's it.
And then it's like, and you're going to yell at me in my own house. Get out. Get the F out.
Get out.
Right now. And then you grab her by the hair and throw her out.
Man.
If it's a woman on a woman, like, a man never should do that.
Yeah. I'd be like, FYI. I'd be like the wall in the Amityville Horror, just yelling, get out.
So then I assume
that happened, that movie.
Julie goes to work, and Julie makes a crank call on her house, basically, and says, there's a problem going on at 1313 Mockingbird Lane.
The Munsters live there.
So then the cops show up at the house. The cops show up at the house. Mrs. Winterbourne invites them in.
She was hesitant at first, though.
Well, I mean, once she invited him in, she's getting ready to kill one of them.
Yeah, she grabbed the umbrella.
So then the kids came and ruined everything. And then the kids proceed to tell the cops how they're abused children.
Well, they didn't say that.
Well,
Olivia prompted that by she put her arm around Blaine like she was like bringing him in closer, but she deliberately grabbed the bruise on his arm so he would say ow so the cop would see it.
Ooh, crafty.
Yeah.
And then the cops started like, you know, asking the kids questions.
At first it was on Winterbourne because they said that Winterbourne wouldn't play with her because she wanted to read a book.
Right.
And the cops are kind of like giving her the stink eye on that. You're reading a book, huh?
Right.
But then she turned it around.
And then Julie calls the cops, and the cops side with Mrs. Winterbourne. And they're like, well, you know, you better watch it because you're abusing your kids. And if we get wind of this again, you're in trouble.
This woman can't get a break.
No, she could not.
No.
So then Julie comes home, and Julie does what she should have been doing the entire time. She snoops.
Snooping, yeah.
Finally. And
not very good at it, though.
No, she's not at all.
She gets caught.
I need to teach a class.
She gets caught by her fucking daughter.
Yeah, she walks in. Mommy.
Right.
And you know that daughter's not on her side. No one is.
No.
But she snooped long enough to get a look at what Mrs. Winterbourne was putting in her water.
Not ambient.
And so then the kids are kind of annoyingly gaslighting her too, because today the kids are totally normal. They're totally nice.
Well, when the daughter walked in and catches Julia looking at the bottle, Julia drops it back in the purse, but then turns so fast she knocks the purse over.
Yeah. So Mrs. Winterbourne knows something's up.
Yeah.
So then she, I guess, Googles the name of the whatever it is. She finds out it's this powerful sedative. And this is where the friend is just the biggest asshole on the planet.
This is at work. It's happening again. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is when I yelled F you to the screen. Because she's confiding in her friend, and her friend is like, look, you're crazy, and you're messed up, and this is messed up that you're even doing this.
Yeah.
And
I don't know why does she keep telling her friend this stuff? Her friend's not on her side at all.
And I wrote, first of all, Julie, you need to fire the nanny. You need to fire your friend. Tracy Nelson would never do this to you.
That's right.
We are not in the wrong universe, though.
No.
Apparently the Twisted movies are going to be all about gaslighting.
And this is where the friend's like, oh my God, I got so mad. I got so mad because the friend then called the cops.
Yeah.
Yeah, the friend gets really – yeah, the friend is out to get her. See, this is, like I said, work boundaries. So someone told me years ago you really shouldn't open up to people you work with because it could be held against you.
For sure.
Then CPS shows up, and the CPS woman, I think, goes down in history as the worst Lifetime actress I have ever seen.
Wait, which one is this? Oh, this is the we're talking about this.
Lady.
Yeah. Okay.
That was like, we are going to take custody away from you.
Boy, and how she get the gig? You know, she's not some hookups.
You don't know? Those producers, they've been around for decades.
I say she's probably like the director or the producer's mother who always wanted to act.
Oh, man. And guilted someone? She wants her SAG card?
Yeah.
So she could do extra work after this. So, okay.
Okay. And this is, like, I got so pissed off at this part. Because not only does CPS tell her to leave her own home, they give the custody to Mrs. Winterbourne.
Yeah. Who That's they had established. Strange. They established earlier in the movie, though, that Mrs. Winterbourne loves kids so much that in addition to being a nanny, she's a registered foster mom.
Right.
Yeah. And she gets to and they all get to live in the house.
That was right. The detail that was the weirdest to me. It's one thing if Julia doesn't get to keep her kids, but wouldn't they be like, all right, they're gonna come and stay at somebody else's home. You need to clean your shit up.
No, they all get to live in the house except for the mother, who all her stuff's in the house because it's her house. She can't live in the house. I'd like to have them explain that to me.
Even the dead nanny agency woman's living at the house now.
Right, she gets to stay.
I guess not living.
That's not fair. No,
because we literally were like,
get busy living or get busy done. Yeah,
get out of this house.
That's it. The mother should at least be able to live in the garage.
So then nobody Julie lives goes in back there. To work. Julie goes back to work, and then
wait. This is my favorite part of the movie. You just skipped over it. So, as they're taking away or the kids from Julia, and Julia's in the car. Did you notice when she walked out to the car, there was like a shit ton of press out there?
Yes!
Yeah, there was. Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute.
It's like all these camera snapping photos and shit. Like everyone is just really deeply invested in the goings on of CPS cases around the city of Los Angeles.
Yeah, and it wasn't a few. It wasn't a Slow few day. Members of the press. It was like a. It was like a press.
Yeah.
Junket.
Well, ever since that OJ trial ended,
it literally looked like a press conference, and they like swarmed the house. So you know, you would have thought that she was some famous actress abusing her kids.
Maybe they have one of those things. There's mechanical contraptions. Oh, where they pick up police signals.
I guess.
The scanner.
Yeah, a scanner or something like that.
So then she
big
goes
story
back
down
to
there.
Work, and she gets fired. So her friend, her asshole friend boss, fires her.
Fires her and walks in with a box for her. Yeah. Here you go.
She literally said, "You can't be here."
You can't.
I would have at least I would have done something before I left. I was very angry at this point in the movie. So then we see this woman, and she's just on her iPad hanging out,
reading the news story. By the way,
that's right.
That's what. No, I'm not joking. That's what was on her screen. Is the story about Julia?
I get my Black China stories from that podcast. Let's see what else is in the news.
The CNN scroll that entire day was just about this mom in Southern California who had her kids taken away.
Like, yes, on the news.
So, the virus hadn't happened yet, so this is the big news at the time.
So the woman's looking at the news thing, and then she's like, all of a sudden she's like, wait a minute. And then she looks, she gets a closer look, she enlarges the picture, and she's like, wait. So she picks up the phone, and, because she in the report, she finds out Julia's name. And so she calls Julia's house. Her name is Dr. Sheridan. And she needs to talk to... Mrs. Winterbourne answers the phone. And Mrs. Winterbourne, slams the phone down on her. But then Dr. Sheridan somehow gets Julia's phone number.
Well, she had done one of those searches, like we had joked about earlier, where she had a white pages search. She found Julia's name, called the house first, didn't get that, so she called the other number.
Right.
Instead of, I don't know, calling the fucking police.
Right. Exactly. There's a criminally insane woman at large in this house, and you need to do something. But she calls So she calls Julia. We find out that Mrs. Winterbourne's name is really Maxine Braves.
Uh-oh.
And she's dangerous. And she can't have kids, and she's obsessed with the idea of having a family.
That pushed her to the breaking point.
Right. And she's very dangerous. You need to do something, and you need to do something quick. I'm not going to call the cops, but do something quick. So meanwhile, Mrs. Winterbourne knows that the jig is up, and so she tells the kids that we're going to take a trip. So Julia gets home, she goes into her house, the house is empty. But then Mrs. Winterbourne walks into the room with a knife.
The mother starts snooping around again. She gets a driver's license.
Right. So then Mrs. Winterbourne then gives her monologue. She gives like the lifetime, lifetime crazy villain monologue. Like, you don't deserve these kids, and I'm going to be a better mother to them. And
that reminds me, I want to learn the monologue from Psycho Yoga Instructor. I'm going to write that down.
Okay.
Learn. Because I want to do that for like auditions in the future.
That actually would be a really good show. Not even joking. Like, you get everyone in the show just as monologues, but all from the Lifetime Universe movies.
That would be good.
It would, yeah.
And then you have to end it. You just picked the wrong nanny.
Yeah. That's your blackout line.
The wrong monologue show could be called.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, there you go.
Yeah.
So as Mrs. Winterbourne is giving the monologue, the kids are on the stairs, and as she's giving the monologue, the kids are like, hey, wait. And they put two and two together, and they're like, wait. The little girl's like, wait a minute, I never said that.
Yeah, that wasn't my secret. That wasn't your secret either, Blaine. And then they realize, like, oh, the nanny was lying to us.
Right. And it's shitty do you feel now, little kids?
Yeah.
Yeah, they started to put it together. This little girl's like, wait a minute, I never said that mommy didn't love us. Little boy's like, I didn't either. Uh-oh.
Welcome to therapy for the rest of your life, kid.
Spilling the beans on that nanny. They should have looked closer to see you as a knife. They're like, who are we going to go with here?
How guilty are you now? You better give your mother, like, awesome Mother's Day presents for the rest of your life.
Stabbing that nanny in the back.
So she gets knocked out. Julie gets knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
And Julie wakes up, and she's tied to a chair. And then Mrs. Winterbourne's like, and I'm not done with my monologue. I got more to say. So she's continuing her monologue, but then all of a sudden, Julia unties herself, and she grabs the knife, and she stabs Mrs. Winterbourne.
Also, Mrs. Winterbourne criticizes her for working. She's like, how progressive, how dare you have a job where you're away from your kids? And then the mom, which I don't know if this is the right time to be making a point when she's tied up and a knife is too, but she says, just as parents have to provide for their children.
Yeah. Right.
That's the way it is in 2020 and 10 years before and 20 years before and 30 years before and 40 years before, but they're catching up.
So this movie not only was twisted, this movie had a message.
Yeah.
Sure. Yes, did. A message, a very progressive message. Women, you should not have jobs if you can't work and have kids. Yeah. Or this is what
don't have jobs, don't have kids, and no one's going to believe anything you say anyway.
Right.
No.
Right. You're going to be gaslighted within an inch of your life, and not even the police will believe you. You'll lose everything. You'll lose your job, your home, everything.
Your friend at work is a piece of work.
So understandably, Julia was pissed. So she grabs the knife and she like stabs the crap out of her. Like she just is like, ugh!
Did she get loose? Did she cut that rope with the driver's license?
She did.
She swiped.
Yeah, she got out with the driver's license. Olivia's got the knife right at Julia, but Julia reaches her hand up and shoves Olivia's arm into herself. So Olivia technically stabs herself.
Right. Which is good. Okay. So if the police still kind of didn't believe her, Julia would be like, I didn't do it. She did herself.
Then we see the kids are tied up and watching all this. Those kids have had quite a time.
Yeah, right. I mean, this movie is all an ad that, hey, your kids are going to need therapy.
So then the cops showed up. The cops showed up and
apologize.
Yeah. Oh, we're sorry.
The cop walks in. He's like, "I'm so sorry." It was almost like he walked in. He's like, "My bad. Didn't know she was a psycho."
Yeah, it was the same one.
You fooled me too.
First of all, that's when Julia should have come up. Listen, at you. You see, like, and just yelled at them first.
Well, is that who she called when she was on her way to the house? Because she called somebody and said, "You need to listen to me." And then she tells, and then they cut away. So it's like, so the cops now believed her, but didn't before?
Right. Oh, well, here, I'm sure that, yeah, she called the cops because she had no friends. She had no friends. She had no job.
She probably called Rebecca first, and Rebecca's like, "No, you are crazy, Julia.
You're still crazy." I don't know why the cops even believe her at this point. They could have kept this. Could have kept going.
Yeah. Well, I think at this point, Dr. Sheridan probably stepped in.
Well, Julie, it looks like you're a murderer. Yeah. You knew you were leading up to this.
Go ahead, Les.
Oh no, I was gonna say the cops go in to get Mrs. Winterbourne, and she's gone.
Yeah, crawled out that window.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Julie's like, she's over there, and the cops are like, "Over where?"
And it's like, listen, you dumb shits. First, like, go find her. Oh, I'm so mad.
Dragging their heels.
And so then at the end, of course, we see a home. The doorbell rings. A woman answers the door. And it's Mrs. Winterbourne, but now her name is Arielle.
And we keep seeing this.
And she says, "I hear you need a nanny." The end.
We keep seeing that. The job searching skills on these people is amazing. They must have no references.
Right.
Oh, but what they do is they kill somebody and then they just take over the identity.
Well, no, or they do like that one movie where
that's how it works in my temp agency.
Where the woman like held a knife on the person who was supposed to be her reference, and she held a knife on her until she not only gave her the reference, but that she got the phone call.
See, this would be good, like, job getting skills. You know, you could include all this information.
Physically threatening people? You feel like that's the, that should go down to the LinkedIn?
They're getting work. Yeah. Oh, yeah, what's her LinkedIn like?
Right.
Oh, wow.
So.
Sure, she's got it covered.
I thought, initially, the movie started out very slow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think I was going to like it.
Slow burn.
But then it sucked me in. And I ended up really liking it.
Yeah, it wasn't the typical, like, Lifetime movies tend to be a little campier than this. This had campy moments for sure, but overall it felt more psychological thriller than it did campy Lifetime terror movie.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it was overrun with cast either. It was very sparse.
Well, it's very low budget.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about those scenes where they would have the two ladies would be talking to each other. Each one is like looking at a camera.
But, you know,
that happened a few times.
And I genuinely did feel sorry for her. I felt sorry for Julia.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, damn.
Yeah, but she's got to get boundaries.
And yes, this is why you shouldn't tell your work friends everything.
Nah. Not especially when you get a, you know, pretty good indication early on that your friend is not on your side, even.
Yeah. Yeah. the minute she tells you you're crazy, that's when you're like,
I even suspected that her work friend was kind of in on it.
When she went in the bathroom to make the call, which was ultimately to the police, and you see her on the phone, I'm like, oh my God, she knows Olivia.
I did too. Yeah. I totally thought that she was going to get out of the phone and say, all right, our plan's working.
Because that would have made sense. Because otherwise, like, why did she believe a word she was saying? I guess, yeah, or she wasn't going along with anything.
But you know what, guys? This is what women have been going through for their entire lives. Nobody believes them.
Right. Right. Well, this was a masterclass in gaslighting. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
It was amazing and icky at the same time.
Is that woman still in the garage?
Probably.
No, she's because
she never goes.
No, she's in Crystal Cave. Remember, she's in Crystal Cave.
She's in the cave in Pennsylvania. She's in Crystal Caverns. Step over that woman and check over this cat. Yeah, it's a. Yeah, I guess she would be because Julia never goes in the garage
because she didn't know.
Nobody else knows she's there. So I bet she's gonna be in that garage for a long time.
Yeah, because Julia had no idea. She had no idea that.
That's foul.
Wow.
Are they ever gonna give us sequels? Because these movies keep having endings that like look like they're trying to make a sequel, but we haven't seen any sequels yet that I know of.
No. Yeah, there needs to be.
Like Hallmark does sequels to some of their movies, but Lifetime never has, to my knowledge.
They want to, apparently.
Wait a minute. Oh, we forgot to mention.
Yeah, we did.
That Lifetime, you need to get it together, Hallmark. Lifetime is going to have a Christmas movie with gay protagonists. Not just gay people in the movie. It's going to be a gay couple.
Yeah, I like that they went out of their way to make sure that that was the headline. That, like, not only are we featuring gay stories, it's going to be the featured story of this movie.
So take that.
Okay, good. I was excited. I thought it was Hallmark at first. I was going to do that, but. It's good.
And I like that. I like that, you know, Lifetime is like, because we know for the Hallmark one, it's probably be like, this is my friend Ted. He's gay. And that's going to be it.
Although I will say the premise didn't sound that promising. And if past experience is any indicator, it's not going to be good because all the Lifetime holiday movies are straight up trash. Like, fun trash. They're just bad. Whereas at least Hallmark, you kind of know what you're getting, and it's warm and fuzzy.
Right.
Have you guys seen Last Christmas?
I want to.
No.
That looks like a Hallmark movie that is a real movie.
It's like a tearjerker.
Is that like a sick teenager movie?
She's not a teenager, but kind of, yes.
The woman from Game of Thrones, isn't it?
Emilia Clarke and Henry Golding from Crazy Rich Asians. And I guess the premise is that they meet, and then they don't show this in any of the trailers, but I think she has like a terminal illness or something, and I think she dies.
Oh, no.
Yeah, see, I don't like sick teenager movies.
Oh, you said sick teenager movies.
Well, there's a whole genre. Yeah. There's a whole genre of sick teenager movies.
Oh, that's sad. Like,
it's like, you know, the guy and girl meet.
The boy in the bubble.
One of them has a disease. Oh, I work with the boy in the bubble with John Travolta and Glynis O'Connor. Who is also in Ode to Billy Joe.
Oh, okay.
Where Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. And Robin Benson was Billy Joe.
We talked about that one time, and I was surprised and I'm now re-surprised that there was a movie about that. I'd forgotten.
He jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge because he was gay.
It's a song. Did they say that in the song?
No, but I saw the movie. The day that Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge.
I know, it's a haunting song, but I didn't know he was gay. Okay.
And that ranks up there with, like, wordy songs, like Fancy...
American Pie, Cats in the Cradle, any song by Harry Chapin, right? Harry Chapin, yeah. I do like some of Harry Chapin. That song, Taxi, do yourself a Favor and listen to that sad, tragic song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is kind of a tearjerker song.
Yeah.
Very wordy. Anywho, I think that's it. So if you like what you've heard today, give us a 5-star review. If you didn't like what you heard today, lie and give us a 5-star review.
On whatever podcast platform you're listening to it. I mean, you could give 5 stars elsewhere as well, but we're soliciting for podcast reviews.
And if you want to find me, you can find me either on my website, which is Les Kirkendall Barrett, or you can find me on Facebook at Les Kirkendall Barrett. Jason.
And you can find us on Instagram at Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Big Shot Jason. Kurt.
Okay, I'm going to put all my stuff on KurtFitzpatrick.com. That's Kurt with a K. But I just wanted to say August 13th, I'm doing a live podcast. I'm going to be interviewed called A Scotsman Talks to Kurt Fitzpatrick. I was going to give a shout out to this podcast called The Shelf Shedding Movie Show, which I'm going to be on in a few weeks, talking about Al Pacino. And also there's on Facebook Live Thursday nights, sometimes other nights at 8:40 Eastern time. You could watch Fringe live stream where I do sketch comedy.
Awesome. And I actually have another podcast. If you are a soap opera fan, give my podcast, Soap Opera Love in the Afternoon, a listen. And this is where we talk about British and American soaps, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that's it. So I will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.